Welcome to SCOTUSCast. On June 25, 2007, the U.S. Supreme Court delivered its decision on the Federal Election Commission v. Wisconsin Right to Life Incorporated case. The case involves electioneering commercials. In this episode of SCOTUSCast, attorney Don Simon, a D.C. lawyer of the firm Sanofsky, Chamber, Sache, Anderson, Perry, offers his own analysis of the recent decision. James Bopp Jr. of the James Madison Center for Free Speech offers his own analysis in another edition of SCOTUSCast. As always, the Federalist Society itself takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, attorney Don Simon.
The court's decision in the Wisconsin Right to Life case is certainly a disappointment for those who supported the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act that was adopted in 2002. It's important to note, however, that Title I of the Act, which is the ban on soft money, was not affected by this decision. That ban on the raising or spending of soft money by political parties and federal candidates is really the core of the 2002 reform law. Its constitutionality was upheld by the Supreme Court in the 2003 McConnell decision and is not called into question by the decision this week. It still survives. Title II of the law, the provision on electioneering communications that was at issue this week, has been severely undermined. The irony is that an overriding goal of Title II was to provide a clear, bright-line test as to which spending was regulable as campaign spending. And again, the argument by proponents was not that such spending was bad or that it should be prohibited, but simply that as campaign spending, it should be done out of a political committee using voluntary donations from individuals subject to contribution limits. Using such money, a group could say anything it wanted and as much of it as it wanted to. In order to serve the goal of having a bright line standard, something that Congress at the time understood as a constitutionally grounded objective, the statute provided a clear time frame test so that the provisions of the law apply to any spending for broadcast ads within the immediate pre-election period. That bright line has now been wiped away by the court and replaced with a reasonable person test, or rather a test of whether an ad is susceptible of no reasonable interpretation other than as a campaign ad. The fact that a bright line test has been replaced by a reasonable person or reasonable interpretation test is a fact that in itself has consequences for the clarity and certainty of the law. Prior to this decision, under the 2002 law, it was perfectly clear when those who wished to buy broadcast ads referring to candidates had to use PAC funds and when they did not have to. Now it is far less clear because the spender has to make a judgment about what a reasonable interpretation of its ad might be. Thus, a signature virtue of the statute, its clarity, has been sacrificed by this decision. What is left? Chief Justice Roberts said that the PAC requirement could apply to ads which contain express advocacy or are the functional equivalent of express advocacy. His test to implement that standard is whether the ad is susceptible to no reasonable interpretation as other than a campaign ad. And that is actually part of a test the Federal Election Commission has had in its regulations for years. The FEC has used that test in a number of recent cases to find that sham issue ads, ads which really are campaign ads, are covered by the law, even if they do not have magic words in them like vote for or vote against a candidate. I think it's wrong, then, to assume that the PAC requirement applies only to ads which contain magic words. The PAC requirement continues to apply to ads which are the functional equivalent of express advocacy. That is, ads, for instance, which attack the character, qualifications, or fitness for office of candidates, or criticize their positions on issues in a way that can only be understood as advocating their defeat. It's certainly a step backwards that the clear time frame test has lost much, if not most, of its force. But that is far from saying that the law has lost its force, or that the door is wide open to corporate and union spending on campaign ads right before an election. There continues to exist ample protection in the law to require campaign ads, whether or not they use magic words of express advocacy, to be funded out of a PAC. This requirement may be more difficult to apply, but the requirement still exists, and the FEC still has the obligation to apply it.